silence is often misinterpreted, but never misquoted. This is Dr. Herbert O'Reilly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Thought for Today. Silence is often misinterpreted, but never misquoted. Speaking about quoting, I gather quotations from here and there and everywhere, the great speakers, the great people who made great statements, and then I use them as a subject matter, as the title of my meditations, my thought for today, instant illumination, absolute philosopher, and all the other things that I talk about, because they sort of give me an idea to start on. And this one, silence is often misinterpreted, but never misquoted, is a very interesting concept. Many times we are speaking with people who do not respond, and they are silent, and we have all sorts of statements, silence is consent, and so forth, but they're listening, they're quietly listening, and they're not making any comment. And we think to ourselves, well, am I getting across to these people? Are they not making any comment because they have nothing to say, or because what I'm talking about is not of interest to them? Why is it that they are silent? And you see, I'm trying to interpret the silence. And in interpreting the silence, you can't do it, because, oh, it may be true that the person doesn't say anything. It may be true. A person, you may get them very angry, and they just bubble inside and will not let it out. They're controlling it, and they're going to take the consequences of controlling it. And the consequences of controlling it are that they are not disturbed by it. They are not taken in by it. Oh, for a moment, it shakes them up. For a moment, their attitude may be that, oh, why me? Why does this have to happen to me? And the attitude may be with them for a moment or two, but then, because they're in charge, because they didn't let the attitude make them respond with an angry outlet, then they're not going to be misquoted. They're not going to be misunderstood. Silence is really one of the toughest things that we have to deal with in life. Most marriages bust up because of silence. One spouse stops talking to the other spouse. And when one spouse stops talking to the other spouse, pretty soon there's no communication, obviously. There's no interaction between the two people, and each one thinks that the other is terrible. And pretty soon they say, I'd be better off going somewhere else. But of course, the ugly thing is, they take the unhappy person that they are in that relationship to another relationship. And they look at the other relationship from the same point of view. They looked at the relationship that they were in, and there's no happiness, there's no joy, there's no goodness there, there's no feeling of success and no feeling of oneness. But when we can use silence from another point of view, hold your tongue, this is what we're told, take three deep breaths, and then after you take a three deep breaths, take three more, and then respond. But if you respond when someone has fired you up, or when a circumstance or condition has fired you up and gotten you all uptight, if you respond right away, you're liable to say something that you really wouldn't have said had you had a moment to think about it, or had you had the balance to think about it. Silence is a very tremendous program. It's a very tremendous program. The silence of the evening is so wonderful. We look at the silence in the evening and we say, ah, what a nice time of day. And instead of sitting in front of your television set in the evening, go out on your front stoop or out on the front porch or front yard, or go out of the house and sit in your car perhaps and look at the sunset. Look at the quiet evening sky. You might be in the busy city. You might be out in the in a clanging airport. You might be in a very busy work situation, but you're given a pause to take a break, a coffee break or a cigarette break or whatever breaks you're going to take, and go out, go away from the gang, and just take a look at the setting sun. Take a look at the quietness of the evening. And the quietude of evening is so joyous and so wonderful, the silence of the night. And as the day changes to night, there's a certain peacefulness, a silence about it, an eeriness about it, an eeriness of joy. Oh, something is in the wind. Something is going to happen, something wonderful. And always expect something wonderful. And lo and behold, you'll get something wonderful. But silence can be the most endearing attitude that any of us can ever have when we use silence and love together. When we use silence and peace together. When we use silence and harmony together. Using silence with its neighbor, with its friend, brings about great joy. Silence and anger just do not go together at all. It only breeds more anger. Silence and joy go together and it breeds more joy. How about that? Silence and intuitiveness breed more intuitiveness. We have the opportunity of having silence and having it be one of the greatest, most joyful things that we ever had in life. And though people might interpret or misinterpret us as we are in the silence, thinking that we are wasting our time, though people might misinterpret us as we are quiet and do not respond, and that's a silence too, they cannot misquote us or they cannot ever take us to task for it because they do not have any information on what we are doing in our silence. Our silence time is our time. It's our time of wonder and magic and beingness. It's our time of introspection. It's our time of listening within, our time of peace, our time of joy. This is the time that you can have for yourself too. You can have it and you can live it just like I have it and I live it. They say that when you're older, you should not live alone. You should live with a family because you become morose and you become distant. And that's true. That's true. That's true for people who have been accustomed to having family all the time, accustomed to having people around them. But many of the older people live long, wonderful lives by themselves, living not in their memories, but living in doing the things they know they can do, but the people around them wouldn't like them to do because they're afraid they might hurt themselves. I have a very dear friend who liked to be alone. His wife was a very active religious lady, and he liked to work outside, and he liked to do things outside. And one day, he was working with his tractor, and left the tractor idling, and he did something off the tractor. And when he turned around to get back on the tractor, there the tractor was merrily rolling down the hill right toward a tree. And like all of us in our foolishness, he ran after the tractor trying to stop it. Now, it was too late. And then, in his running, he was exhausted and fell down. He didn't hurt himself. He was in his 80s, but he didn't hurt himself. And what happened? The tractor got to the bottom of the hill and stopped. It didn't hit anything. It wasn't damaged. Nothing bad happened to it. And he got a little bruise on his knee, but nothing more. He got up, went down, got on the tractor, and drove it to where he wanted it. And then he was a little more careful when he put his brakes on or when he put the shovel down to hold it in place when he was stopped. Never leaving the tractor improperly attended. And he learned a lesson. Oh, he could have killed himself, but so what? He learned a lesson, and he lived on for many, many years. And he lived on a happy, joyful man, because he did the things he wanted to do, and he lived alone, and he lived in harmony. Oh, he had a few people around now and then, but whenever the people came around, they didn't understand him, because he had a life that he was living, and he had things that he was doing that no one understood. He was in his silent time. Oh, he spoke, but he didn't speak about the things that really meant something to him, because they were the precious things in his silent time that he didn't want disturbed by anyone else thinking about what he was thinking about. Now you say that it's mentally unbalanced, that is not too cool, we want to be careful of that. Oh yeah, we want to be careful of that, that's right. Always being careful. Silence is a time where we can go off into our own peaceful place, and no one can come along with us. And it's not that we're running away, but we're running to that silence. We're running to that love, that joy, that peace, that happiness that's within us. And as we find it, we shine that outward. We let that flow outward. And then we'll never be misquoted. We'll be understood for who we are, a happy, content being. Live in this lifetime every moment of your day, as I do mine, that it's the most wonderful moment in the world. Live so that you feel so joyous, so wonderful, so happy, that no matter what comes the next moment, this moment has been the prize. This moment has been the moment of peace. This was a silent time of inner awareness, inner joy, and inner peace. And that's all that really matters, isn't it? Think about that. Silence is often misinterpreted, but never misquoted. Where do you live in the silence? I live in the silence a lot of the time. Have a lovely day, and have a lovely silence, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.